Hello, I'm Elizabeth Day, host of Shaping the Future by Regent Street, a new culture podcast investigating the forces shaping destinations today. I deep dive into topics such as art and design, architecture, wellness, sustainability, and much, much more. If you like this podcast, why not head over and give us a listen? We're available on all major podcast listening platforms.
There are some things in life even Sky Broadband can't guarantee. They can't guarantee you'll only see green lights on your journey home.
Hooray!
Or that your car radio will always play your favourite songs. But with their Wi-Fi guarantee, they can guarantee Wi-Fi in every room of your home. If not, you get money back. An absolute classic. Sky, believe in better. Requires Sky Broadband Boost and Sky Kit. Refund on boost component of subscription paid during current minimum term up to date of claim. See sky.com/guarantee.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson.
Higher than high-res, it's Lauren Perez.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Lisa Wallant, now that's what I call Wallant. The Bay Area betches, betches. And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Always ready for Nicole Passeretti.
One day your Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar.
Yes, we can, with Howley, Carolyn, and Anne.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Joey Grant, the Grandmaster. Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The incredible Edible Matthews sisters.
And
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island, available on YouTube. Go check it out. And joining me is a hilarious, wonderful, just a great person all around. It's Ronnie Karam. How's it going?
Well, hi, Ben. What's going on, baby?
Well, I'll tell you what's going on. It's Monday, and we have a lot of stuff going on today. We are recapping Married to Medicine, whoop, 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 which is so fun. And this week, they added the extra joy of muscled men who are naked, which, so, like, automatically top show of the year for me. So, anyway, it's a Monday. We have a lot to talk about, a lot of recapping to do, but I want to make some really important announcements. So before you hit fast forward, if you do that, I want you to listen to these because this is really important. First and foremost, we have our shows that we'll be recapping for next week in Chapel Hill and Richmond. We're going to be doing Orange County and Real Housewives of Dallas for Chapel Hill and Richmond, respectively. So there's that. Also, we put our Austin show on sale last week, and those tickets went flying off the shelves. I don't know if it's sold out already, but it is so close. So definitely be on top of that. And of course, this Saturday, we are coming to Atlanta. It's going to be Atlanta Gay Pride, and we are going to be doing the most prideful thing that we know how to do, which is recapping Real Housewives of Dallas at the early show. And then a classic Real Housewives of New York for the late show. I mean, what better way to celebrate Gay Pride than remembering, you know, like Real Housewives of New York, the episode where Ray, his one and only episode, where he yelled, "You're trash! Trash!"
I know, Gay Pride, celebrating not gay Ray. Not gay at all, Ray.
Yeah, someone who is not gay at all, who did not act gay at all on TV, on the Gayest Network on TV.
How'd you know about a pizza, bitch?
You bitch! You bitch! Shaking in my socks! So, by the way, if you want to watch that episode, it is available on Hulu. It is season 8, episode 7. It's called Airing Your Dirty Laundry. It's also on iTunes and stuff like that. So come. The early show in Atlanta is really close to selling out, but we have plenty of tickets for the late show. So come join. Come for both. We will have a great time. So that's that. And then the rest of the stuff. Here's the rest of the cities real quickly, and then we're going to get on with our show. We're doing our two shows in Atlanta this weekend. We got Chapel Hill and Richmond the following week. We got Tampa and Fort Lauderdale. And then we got in Indianapolis. And then two shows in Chicago and two shows in New York and St. Louis. And then two shows in Philadelphia and a show in Denver. And then in Seattle. And then in January, we have the 2020 Golden Crappies live from Los Angeles. And then Detroit, Columbus, Austin, and Houston. Oh, and of course, we have amazing new merchandise. Ronnie, can you just tell everyone about the merchandise?
We have a Shannon Boldore merchy thing. There's shirts, mugs, water bottles, all kinds of stuff that you guys have asked for besides just shirts. And there's also a When Life Gives You Tacos, Make Tacos Solid shirt for Cameron. And then there's a dork shirt and a twerp shirt for Kelly. Okay? You can get all that in different kinds of cups and whatever. So go over to crappinsmerch.com.
Yeah, awesomeness all around. So let's not delay it anymore. Let's just dive into Married to Medicine, shall we?
Wow, this show is really bringing penis back.
Yes.
Penis was just so unfashionable for such a long time, and that's just – it's the whole episode. Well, penises and vaginas. It's like somebody lifted an embargo on vagina talk today. Everyone's like, I've got a vagina! I've got a vagina!
It was all happening. It made me really excited to be going back to Atlanta this week. That's what I have to say. Because last time we went to Atlanta, we saw a lot of peen, okay? Sorry, it's called Swinging Richards.
Did we see peen standing around eating cake? That was the best part.
No.
Were the strippers just like bored after the party, standing around naked, eating cake while his dick was blurred out?
We just saw strippers looking bored while they were giving people lap dances. That's all. We just saw their dreams just, shattered in their eyes as they're like, just 30 more minutes before I can go home. Here, let me grind on someone. Ah, good times. Good times.
Yeah. So we're still at Toya's paint and penis party. Penis and paint, or whatever they call it.
Yeah. And basically the men are naked, gallivanting around. Oh, and by the way, open it.
Gallivanting. What are you doing gallivanting around with your penis out? I love that word.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize I hit your watch what happens live secret word that Andy Cohen points at.
I'm drinking. Yeah, because this old guy named Bob Edwards, he was the first guy who rented me a room in Staten Island when I was 18 years old. He used to say, "What are you doing going out there gallivanting around like?" I thought that was the funniest word. So, of course, it comes back with Ben.
Yeah, of course. I'm bringing this show may be bringing peen and vagina back, but I'm bringing gallivanting back. I'm gallivanting through this recap.
It started with Bob Edwards, and here it comes full circle with Benjamin Edward.
And by the way, a formal invitation to those strippers, if they want to come to our show in Atlanta, they are more than welcome. Come dressed as in whatever you want or whatever you don't want. We totally welcome. Totally welcome.
Yeah, come on, guys. We'll have cake.
Yeah, we had cake last time. We had a wonderful cake last time. It was your birthday last time.
That was delicious last time.
Delicious.
Okay,
cake.
So Jackie, all the ladies are reacting to all the peen, and most of them are cracking up. Jackie's having hot flashes.
Yes.
And Contessa just keeps saying, "This is probably never going to happen again in my life. This is never going to happen again in my life." And then 5 minutes later, she's like, "This is never going to happen again in my life."
Yeah, it was like different. It was all sorts of different variations. We saw her go through an emotional journey by saying that phrase over and over again.
Yeah, she just kept saying it. I think she's doing that thing where people don't know that their really good line is going to be cut out in editing, so they just say it 5 times to make sure it gets out there.
This is never going to happen again in my life. This stripper is the definition of the biggest bitch in the world. Did that make it in? Did that make it in? Anyone? Anyone?
I'll just say it 10 more times this episode. And Toya, who started all of this, obviously, because it's her penis party, is like, "Keep yourselves together, you doctors."
Yeah. And Carrie, who is there, by the way, Carrie from season 1, she's like, "I want to paint his cute butt. I have struggled for 20 years with having to paint cute bots. And tonight, I'm going to do it. I'm going to paint a cute bot. His cute little bot. I'm not going to tell Duncan about his cute little bot.
And Mariah's just so excited. She says she hasn't seen Chocolate Dick in years. She's like, I think I can draw this in my sleep.
This entire experience was sort of like a Rorschach test, Rorschach, you know, because it was like these two guys who were just greased up and naked and just honestly just sort of like prancing around, just enjoying this. And then we look at what people are painting and or drawing or whatever they were doing. And it was all like these like erect boners with like semen dripping out. And I was like, I don't think they have boners as far as I can tell. And these were like up, pointing up to the heavens. And as far as I can tell, all the blurs were heading down, you know?
Yeah, they were very leaky penises, according to the pictures that they were painting. And also, did you notice Quad had one that looked like, I don't know if it was butt cheeks that were open, but then she was drawing like a big red bow in between, like on the butt, I guess. And it just didn't look good.
She definitely had butt cheeks, but then there was like peen along to the side. She sort of was like, I'm gonna get every part, every private part, because I am private too, and I don't want to share all my parts with you, Simone, right now.
Yeah, her penis actually turned out good. That was her painting. I take it back.
I think it was pretty good. I could be wrong.
Impressionist. It was like a butt, but then a penis. Yeah, a penis off to the, like, a profile. Like if Barbara Walters was painting this, it was like a it's like, when was the last time you cried? And then Jackie's like, my picture will answer that. It's like literally got tears coming out of it. And some of the sperm was blue. Someone made like blue sperms, like tears crying.
Yeah, it was almost like a crying dong. It was, the point is this, I think the women were projecting what they wanted to see. I think they just saw stripper dong and they just saw were boners at that point. And you know what? I was happy for them. I really was. And I'll tell you why I was happy for them. Because their men are constantly going off to the strip club all the time. And, you know, some of them are even cheating, etc. But the point is that they're going to the strip club and they always have access to strippers all the time. And when we went to Swingin' Richards in Atlanta last year, I remember thinking that it was actually like a very liberating experience because, like, for once there was something for, like, us, for, like, gay men and, honestly, women to be like, I wanna ogle something too, you know? It's like, why should the men get all the fun, right? So I was like happy for them because I was hoping that they were having that feeling of empowerment. I mean, I don't know if you go out.
You hang out with a lot of straight people. I see dick all the time. It's like normal. It's like happy hour. There's a penis in your face.
No, but
it's
I mean,
every gay bar.
No, well, every gay bar has like go-go dancers, but they always have like a little thing. They always have like a little G-string or whatever. I'm saying like these were like full-on naked strippers, you know? Because like in every like premium TV show, well, now apparently there's been some catch up on the penis front, but like anytime you watch like Game of Thrones, you know, it's like tits, 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 vagina, and then like the one like beggar in the street gets naked, right? For us, that's what we always talk about, you know, like, yeah. It's just like there's like, we have to endure so much like tits and vagina that we have to watch, which is obviously there's nothing bad about them, but like, you know, like, give us some dog once in a while. Spread the love. So, like, it was oddly empowering to go to a strip club where the men were getting just totally naked. So I was, you know, I felt like some of the women were probably feeling that. At least Carrie. I bet Carrie really was. I bet she came back to Duncan and was like, oh, I had the most empowering experience I ever had tonight. Duncan, you know?
I painted a bot. yeah, I think that it's depressing. It's like when you're on a diet, you know, and you don't eat any salt or sugar. And yes, I've lasted more than 2 days in my life on those things. And when you go, like, let's say even to Golden Corral, somewhere with like really rich, just nasty food, and then you're like a carrot, like it just ruins everything. Like you're going home to Aiden and all those guys after this. And then the rest of the episode, everybody was trying to prove their sexual worth, you know, right. Like everybody's trying to be really sexy, like Mariah and Aiden playing pool. He's like, let me show you how to play pool. I'll be right behind you. Yeah, I'm smacking your butt. It's like, okay, Aiden, you know, get out of here with your Chucky hair. You're still no stripper. Okay. And you don't need to be, you're the husband, but stop trying to compete with the Swingin' Richards up there.
Right. Now, I will say that watching these women paint, you know, going back to Quad, the best part is that she had this look on her face. She was doing her role-playing again, where she's like, all right, I am Pablo-ette Picasso, and I'm going to be doing some painting right now. I'll be very serious, inside the artist studio.
Beans in Paris.
Beans in Paris.
Her new line, clothes for giant penises.
Yeah.
And then we see Heavenly's picture, and she's only drawing the crucifix.
Yeah, the crucifix tattoo. She's
just drawing the crucifix tattoo with a little beard above it.
Yeah, and she's trying not to, she's pretending like she's not going to look down in the peen region, but we see her at one point like looking up at the chest, and then she like looks down to her pad to like to paint or some more or draw, but then of course her eyes totally stop for like a millisecond on the peen, like, I'm gonna get a look at that, praise the lord.
And then we cut to Contessa going, oh my god, I'm trying to get every nook and cranny, I may never get to do this again. No.
You are the specimen of perfection.
So, oh gosh.
So then Toya.
This is a lot of penis notes.
It kind of like
penis,
nothing.
Penis for like three pages.
It's true, because not a lot actually happened. It was just like penis. So everyone does their paintings. And then I don't know if you caught this, but Toya goes, so is everybody pretty much finished with their photos? Is everyone finished with their photos? Wow, these are awesome photos. These are awesome photos. I was like, is someone going to tell Toya those they're not photos?
Poor Toya. Could you imagine Toya just trying to get a selfie on Instagram? It's like 30 hours later.
She has to do it 16th century style. She just has to sit very still next to, like, you know, it's, Da Vinci.
Yeah, it's a profile with a penis coming out of her nose.
The Toya Lisa.
What I should have did.
What I should have did was use an actual camera to take my photo, not a paintbrush.
Oh, Toya. So then Mariah's like, oh, I just took a picture, Heavenly. And Heavenly's like, oh, yeah, now you have a receipt. Praise the Lord, now you have a receipt.
Yeah. We should also mention Simone's painting, which was just a heart. She painted a heart. Which was, A, like, not what was in front of her, and also a lazy painting. Like, if you're not going to paint the guy, like, just do more than a simple heart. Like, it was not even, like, a heart with various shading or filled in or in a background. It was literally, like, four strokes of a paintbrush.
Yeah, well, maybe that's the one I thought was quads. Because I just saw, like, that red coming out. And I was like, you shouldn't put that anywhere near private parts. Like, nobody wants that. But also, I love that Simone is so not into painting penises at a strip party, but then later in the episode she draws penises for her sons on plates. Yeah. And then puts mayonnaise all over them to show them what STDs are like. Oh yeah. Simone.
Just maybe she just, it's, you know, it's like a printer, you know, when like your printer gets messed up and so you try to print something and like something doesn't happen, so you try to print something again, it doesn't happen, and then like then and you sort of forget about it, and then the next day you go to print something and the printer's like, okay, I'll work now, and then prints the two things beforehand that were in the queue. You're like, oh shit. So maybe she just had the penises in her painting queue and they just hadn't come out yet.
Yeah, they were just waiting to come out.
Yeah,
she got them nice and ready at the stripper party, and then they just splooshed when her kids were around.
Yeah.
So Mariah's like, I wonder how daddy would feel seeing her get picked up by a naked man with big shoulders and a six pack and a penis he can still see and straight teeth.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, because basically one of the strippers just picks up Heavenly at one point, and she's like, oh, praise the Lord, daddy, daddy. That bitch picked me up. That little boy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
So Toya thinks she's fixed all her friends now.
Yeah.
Which, you know, look, as a gay person, I can say we know. Dicks in your face don't fix friendships.
They don't. Okay. They don't.
Many of us have tried it. Doesn't mm-hmm. work.
But it gives us something to talk about. And Heavenly's like, daddy, I don't want to see their penises, but now that I saw it, I am thankful for the penis I have at home, which is smaller and less fun and attached to a less attractive body. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, don't lie. That's like test driving a Porsche and being like, you know what? I really want to go back to my Camry.
Yeah.
Really, from 10 years ago. You
know? Actually, I can see that I would say something like that. So let's use a different analogy.
I know. I just heard myself say that, and I was like, Ronnie, why are you fucking with Ben? I didn't even do that on purpose. I was just thinking of car models, and I don't drive. So I've heard a lot about the Camry over the years.
It's like driving a Bentley and then saying, you know what? I think I want to go back to my 87 Hyundai.
Yes, Hyundai. Okay, better.
Yeah, that's better. Because I was like, I could see myself getting into a Porsche and being like, this is too fast. I actually don't like it.
Yeah,
I feel
this
uncomfortable
is not
and
sensible.
Dangerous. And I feel like a douchebag driving it. I want my Camry back. Although now I'm a Subaru man, so what can I say?
I'm a Subaru man.
shirts.
I'm going to make a shirt for you that says, I'm a Subaru man.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like that. I'd like that.
With the little horn. It'll come up like horns. A little horn you can press.
Ronnie, you haven't even heard my horn now. Like, my horn has, like, no authority. Like, my Camry horn had little authority. My Subaru horn has no authority. Like, literally, I beep at people, and it's like I'm not even there. It's like, you would think I'm on a tricycle. It is mortifying. Have you been in...
Subaru, for a man who doesn't need a horn with authority.
I don't think I've driven you in the Subaru, have I, right?
No, I've seen it parked, and it's gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. But I'm going to give you a ride just so you can hear the horn, because obviously someone will annoy me, and I will honk at them.
Oh, I'm sure I'll be with you when you're honking that beep, horn, beep. Damn it. It stresses me out. I'm going to kill that... And it's like some 80-year-old.
Oh yeah, because I have to make sure the odds are stacked against stacked for me in case there's an actual fight that breaks out. So 80-year-olds, watch out.
I know, big muscle guys. You're like, I don't need a horn with authority.
I'll just stare at them, just growl.
Okay, so now we go over to Buffy talking. She's trying to be nice to Toya. She's like, thank you for this amazing party. Oh, my God, what a good break for tax season. Which, you know, it's not something you really want to bring up when you're trying to make nice with Toya, Buffy.
Yeah, Toya's like, tax season, what's that? Do we have to pay taxes? I thought we already paid them 3 years ago.
Do taxis get a holiday now?
Well, I don't understand that. Like, what, we have a season for cabs? What? No, taxes.
There's two things that's for sure in life: dying, like, and paying taxes. No, just dying. But you said two things. That is two things.
Please, die and ing. Dying.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Day, host of Shaping the Future by Regent Street. A new culture podcast investigating the forces shaping destinations today. I deep dive into topics such as art and design, architecture, wellness, sustainability, and much, much more. If you like this podcast, why not head over and give us a listen? We're available on all major podcast listening platforms.
Get ready for Brexit on the 31st of October. Brexit will bring changes that affect businesses in many ways, particularly if you buy from EU suppliers, sell to EU customers, provide services to EU clients, and receive customer data from other businesses in the EU. Businesses need to prepare. Find out how at gov.uk/Brexit. Get ready for Brexit on the 31st of October.
Come see us in Atlanta on October 12th. Two shows, 7 p.m. we're recapping Real Housewives of Dallas, 10 p.m. we're recapping a classic New York episode called Airing Your Dirty Laundry. It's with Ray, Season 8, Episode 7. WatchYourCrappins.com for tickets.
So, Heavenly's like, did you all work out all your stuff? Did you work out all your stuff? And Toya's like, not yet. Toya's, this is the season, I guess every season is like this, but especially this season, of making tiny things that we don't even understand why they're fights into these huge season-long fights.
Yeah.
So Toya's just going to still keep coming for Buffy.
Yeah.
And Heavenly's like, what happened? Did you do something to provoke her? Did you? What did you do, Toya?
This would be a good time to say that we did not realize this last week. We posted about it on social media. But for those of you guys who have been so lovely to send us messages, etc., apparently the lady Jocelyn from last week was on Love and Hip Hop. And apparently she's a monster, and she starts fights with everyone. And apparently Toya was lucky to get out of that fight as cleanly as she did. So that's the story on Jocelyn. She's already a reality star, and she's already quite messy.
I know. That's like when you find out about Game of Thrones too late, like you did, and then you have to go back and watch them all. It, like, takes up your whole life. Like, now I have to go watch all of Love and Hip Hop. Love and Hip Hop is my Game of Thrones. Okay, I have to go back and watch every episode now.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's a show to take on, I'll say that much.
I think I'm probably the first person in the world to say Love and Hip Hop is my Game of Thrones. But you know what? There, I said it. It's out there.
It's out there. Yeah, who knows? Maybe a bonus episode we'll do Love and Hip Hop, but maybe not. So so Buffy is basically like, listen, well, I My thing is that I can't control grown people. And when she did say that to you, I did defend you because this is referring to Jocelyn saying that Toya looked real thrifty at the thrifty party.
She has to pay her taxes. She was just coming really hard for Toya for no reason.
Yeah.
I mean, we know the reason.
Now audition. We know the reason. Yeah. But, now we know.
Oh, yeah. Just because she's
meaning that before we were like, who is this thirsty bitch? And now we know that she's professionally a thirsty
she's
bitch.
She's professionally thirsty. Yeah. So Buffy did kind of defend her, you know. But Toya's like, but what I got from you was not that you were upset. What I got that you were like, you and my friend had a spat, and now I'll just take you to the St. Regis for the spa day. La, la, la. And Buffy's like, that is not how I said that, Toya. And then we cut to her saying it, and that is how she said it. But she was still trying to be nice, Toya.
Yeah. Since when is Toya in a position to turn her nose up at a spa day at the St. Regis free of charge? I mean, Toya, get over it. That is actually a very nice thing that she offered to do. She basically is like, I'm sorry, let me make it up to you by taking you to a spa day. That shows that she was like, she felt a certain sort of way. Otherwise, she would have just been like, I'm sorry, but I can't control her. Anyway, do you want, picking a cocktail blanket? I mean, whatever it's called.
Toya makes no sense. I mean, this is a woman who's wearing a shirt that says, the gym is my happy place. Shut up, Toya. Okay? No one is buying that the gym is your happy place. Just cut it out. It's like me walking around with, you know, like, I can't even think of something. You
Porsches. See, I love gallivanting in Porsches.
Romaine lettuce, my happy place. What does that make it so? Because I have it on a shirt. Come on.
Iceberg straight ahead, also known as my happy place.
Also
and I'm talking
known
about
as...
lettuce.
Yeah. Okay. So Buffy's like, that's not how I said it. And she's like, ah. And she goes, I'm not even the one who called your husband. Oh, because she said, but at the end of the day, I didn't know what my note said because I've started just writing down at the end of the day, just ATTEOFTD. Now, I don't know why that would make it easier for me, but people on Bravo say that so much.
At the end of the day.
At the end of the day. At the end of the day. At the end of the day, you get nothing for nothing. That's all you can say for the life of the poor.
Is that from, like, Les Mis?
It's a war. Huh?
Is that Les Mis?
Yeah, it's the opening song of Les Mis, at the end of the day.
Isn't it funny that the opening song is at the end of the day?
Irony.
The layers. Les Mis, what they should have called it was Les End of the Day.
When I'm driving around in Texas, my iPhone connects to the Bluetooth in the car and it just plays everything in alphabetical order because I don't have any playlist set up or anything. So it goes from Les Mis to like Little Shop of Horrors to Adele. You know, it's this random mixture. And I was cracking up because last time I was there, I was listening to some Beyonce song from Homecoming. And then it's, at the end of the day, you'll get nothing for nothing. Oh, God, I need to fix this.
I have my issue is that there's truly only one Ed Sheeran song that I actually like. It's called The A-Team, which was his first song. And it was an Apple download years ago. And so mine does the same thing. It starts whenever you plug in your phone to the car or whatever, it always goes alphabetical because you always want alphabetical, right? And so every single time it's that song, and I actually still like that song, but it bothers me to my core that the very first artist that comes on is always Ed Sheeran. It drives me absolutely nuts. I can't stand Ed Sheeran. And I love my car, but my car always wants to push Ed Sheeran agendas on me. It's just the worst.
I know, because it's you work hard for your new car, and then just having, your phone connect to your car is so crazy.
Wow,
it's just
had that before.
It's a first world thing, you know what I mean? And then to work that hard and just have utter resentment, you know? It's like your car, it's like the world just being like, fuck you, okay?
Yeah.
Fuck all your hard work, okay? You're such a chair to start off your day.
And it's just annoying in general that it always starts alphabetically. Just how about just start on a random song? It's called shuffle. Start on a random song. Don't make me then have to press next to get to my true first song. It's always gonna push Ed Sheeran on me every single time until I get a song that is actually what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna download the theme song to the A-Team so that way the theme song to the A-Team takes precedence over Ed Sheeran. Hopefully. And then, now that's a song I would not mind opening up starting my car to every single time. Dun, 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 dun. I'm like, yes, we're going somewhere.
Well, mine is at the end of the day, which is really depressing and everything. But then it goes to Aquarius, which is
fabulous.
The movie here, which is fantastic.
Yes,
you know, so
I
I'm just
that.
Like a mixed bag of emotions by the time I show up somewhere. It's like I'm poor, but I'm happy, you know.
Wow, that's very Alanis of you.
I'm poor, but I'm happy. I'm Ed Sheeran, but I'm also a theme song. At the end of the day, I'm Ronnie.
At the end of the day, you got nothing for nothing. Okay, so the point is Buffy and Toy are now fighting. And she's like, and Toy's like, but A-T-T-E-O-F-D, I get nothing for nothing. And she's like, someone called my husband a bitch. And she's like, well, I didn't call your husband a bitch. Do you not remember I was the bitch who defended you when Contessa called your husband a bitch? It's like, oh, God.
Like,
Contessa just got out of trouble, okay?
I know. And then it cuts to Simone going, perhaps my decision to bring Buffy was not a good one. You think, Simone? You think?
Whoops. So Buffy, they're pulling Buffy away, like holding Buffy back. And
yeah.
Don't hold Buffy back. I want to see what Buffy can do. Get out of here.
I'm very happy with Buffy. I think she's a great addition. You know, sometimes you can just tell when someone's a good addition. I feel like Buffy is that. You know who is not a good addition?
I do too.
Lisa, what's her face? With Lisa Marie, whatever. Lisa Nicole.
She was pretty good, actually. Lisa Nicole, I mean,
she was annoying.
She had so much drama.
Shrill, but she had a lot of drama, but none of it was interesting. Those were, to me, like the dark days of Married to Medicine, because I thought that even though there was like all that good shit around her, like was her husband gay and all that stuff, she had a fight with Quad, I still found her to be like just so uninteresting to watch. Whereas Buffy, I'm automatically interested in her, even though she's not done a lot.
Lisa Nicole had that really fast fall from grace. I mean, she just turned into just a monster by the end. I mean,
yeah.
She really fell hard from grace.
Yeah, because the first season, she was like, I am an entrepreneur. And everyone was like, wow, Lisa Nicole, she has events. And then everyone just realized that she was a sham. So so they take Buffy outside. Contessa and Simone are with Buffy outside. And Buffy is again saying, like, look, I was defending Toya against my friend. And I've known that friend longer. That put me in a bad position. Like, oh, I stuck my neck out for her. And Contessa goes, well, you know, Toya can be difficult. You just got to get past the rough exterior, but stick it out. Who are you to say this, Contessa? You're the one who made a whole stink about Toya slapping your boob as if it were like a capital offense because she got startled by a crab. So, like, what are you talking about sticking it out, get through the tough exterior? You did the exact opposite.
Crabs have such a huge role on this show.
They really
I know
do.
Contessa's been talking to her for 2 days. So, I mean, yeah.
2 hours. They made up. They like had like a semi makeup at the beginning
that's
of
true.
This party. Yeah, 2 hours.
It was just a week ago, so that's how it is in my head. So Toya, we cut back to Toya. She's going, that girl isn't even my friend. She's not even supposed to be at my party. Okay, Toya, this is such a classic Housewives thing where you throw a group shooting days and then you try not to invite people so you can keep them out of the cast. That's not how it works, okay? Like, she's in the cast now. She gets invited to things. She's even gonna get invited to your penis painting.
And she was also being really nice to you the entire time, and she also offered to take you to a fancy spa. She wasn't saying I'm gonna take you to Massage Envy. She was taking you to the St. Regis, okay? So, like, you need to get over it, all right? Get over it.
She's a brat this whole episode.
She really is. But then this all ends. I'm sorry. I just had a coffee burp. Did you guys all hear it? Because I'm sorry if you guys all had to hear that. Did you hear it?
Burp, burp.
Little coffee burp. Okay. So, so the scene basically ends with, as you mentioned before, you just see the stripper eating cake. And it sort of like zooms out. And he's just like naked eating a piece of cake. Like, well, at the end of the day, this is a pretty good snack.
Yeah.
Also, fuck him for eating that piece of cake and having a great body. Fuck him.
I know. And he was so nonchalant about it. Like, he does it all the time. You know, that's what was really offensive. Because on most of these shows, when people eat cake, they're like, oh, I'll have a bite of the cake. Oh, sure. Boop, boop, boop. Ooh, look at me. Or like when Bethany's like, look, I'm eating.
Yeah.
Look how I'm eating one piece of popcorn at a time. Look how I'm doing it.
On Beverly Hills when they all order a slice of cake and put it in the middle of the table to share and then no one takes a bite.
Yes. And he was just enjoying it. Like, I'm perfect. It does explain the zitty butt, though. I'll say that.
Hmm. Yeah.
So you can try it. Okay, so this song, this music is so hilarious. So Trixie Monocle's Married to Medicine.
Yeah. This is good. I didn't even write it down. I was like, you know what? Ronnie's going to write this down. I'm not going to write it down this week.
I couldn't get all of it because it kept cutting
it was big.
Between scenes, right? So now
this
we're
is
starting
her Bohemian Rhapsody.
We keep cutting between the beginning scenes. Like, here we are, another day in Atlanta. So she's like, you can try if you wanna. You can say a prayer if you wanna. Try if you wanna. Say your prayer if you wanna. And then Contessa's playing with her kid. With Silly Putty.
Yeah.
And then the kid, she's like, do you want mommy to have another baby? But you won't be the baby anymore. And then I wrote kid, unintelligible.
At the end of the day,
the song goes, game over, game over. I was like, that is so shady. Are you suggesting that Contessa can't have children anymore? Why would you put game over after that scene? What the hell, Trixie?
I don't think they're even listening to the lyrics of the song as they put these as they put these clips in. They're just putting them all together. Because then we get Simone with Cecil, and Simone's telling Cecil about the strippers, and they're just sort of like laughing about it, etc. And then we go over to Mariah and Aiden.
I have to say what he said because it was so funny. She goes, yeah, well, they started with their robes. And he said, how many guys are we talking about? She goes, God, you don't even give a damn. I could run off with one of them, Cecil. And he goes, oh, they'd have brought you back. I'm not worried.
He's like, actually, they were hired on the Kids Force app. So we actually, I was actually controlling them.
The Kids Force. He's like, it turns out Kids Force is useful after all.
So Simone so they do that, and then we go over to Mariah and Aiden playing pool, and this is what you're talking about before, where Aiden's like, look, I can shoot a ball, it's good, look at me doing this. It's like, okay.
And he spanks her when he's teaching her how to shoot pool, you know. She looks so excited, like, I'm glad we have an entire room for this pool table.
Yeah, exactly. And then Trixie's just going off. She was just, I remember this is at the point where I was like, wow, Trixie is going off on this right now.
She really was. She just kept saying game over to everyone's scene.
Game over. Yeah. So then we finally land at Dr. Eugene's office, and Toya walks in with a box of Krispy Kremes. And I'm like, Toya, why are you bringing Krispy Kremes to Eugene? That is, like, you are just cruel. Cruel.
I know, and she's bringing the sugar coffees from there too, you know, like the lattes with a ton of sugar and stuff.
Oh, I don't know about those. I haven't been to, well, you know, I haven't those, been to an actual one.
You know those lattes
time.
That you see that look like they're from 7-Eleven, and whenever you get a coffee from 7-Eleven, they're super sugary. So I'm just assuming she's bringing in like a giant milkshake type coffee and Krispy Kremes, and then she's going to call them fat. And to that I say, thanks a lot, mother. Okay, it's like my child. It's like, you're gaining weight. Here's a box of Little Debbie's. Go to the playroom. And
you're
watch
too generous. You're too generous. We all know it was about 45 pixie sticks poured into some Yoo-hoo.
Yoo-hoo.
Yoo-hoo. Remember someone got mad at me for saying Yoo-hoo I think it was one of our shows. Was it the Tennessee show? Nashville, I said Yoo-hoo, and someone was like, boo! And then afterwards, she came up and apologized. She's like, I just really don't like Yoo-hoo.
It's like, I got really into that. Sorry.
Which I get, because I would totally boo, like, a strawberry daiquiri. Boo! I hate you! Trash!
Little berry seeds. You're trash, berry seeds!
She gets us. That heckler, she was in the spirit of crappins that night.
So, Toya comes in, and she's got, you know, like you said, this huge box of donuts, and, this isn't nice, you know. It's like Fit is no longer the new It. Like, we've just dropped that whole thing. You know, Jackie's not even going to care anymore. And she just starts bitching at him, like, where's the pictures of your wife? Because now he's the head of emergency, the entire emergency room group.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but, you know, I'm
happy for Eugene, regardless.
Yeah, me too. That's a nice big office. Mm-hmm. So they get in and talk. He's like, you know, I heard some of the men are upset about the penises. And she's like, oh, whatever, they're uptight. And he's like, well, I was thinking of a boys' night for damage control.
Which is such bullshit, because I hate that they need to have like, oh, now we get a night with the strippers because you guys got one. I'm like, no. The women got the night with the strippers because you guys have had, like, millions of those nights. So why do you guys have to have... Oh, I guess he wasn't saying stripper night, but, you know, it sort of was implied. I'm mad. I'm just mad. The Krispy Kremes really triggered me.
Well, this is... I don't know if this was just shot out of order or what, but he's saying, well, you know, I mean, it wasn't just looking and painting. You know, there was somebody picking somebody up.
Yeah, that the guy, and the husbands felt like they had been bamboozled in a certain way, so he has to make good with the guys to be like, oh, sorry that I didn't tell you that there were gonna be like strippers there. But I still feel like it's bullshit. I feel like the guys have to get over it because, you know, they've all gone to the strip clubs many times.
Yeah, no kidding. And look how the ladies acted. They're like, oh my God, a penis. And the guys are just like, whatever. We love the wings. You
know? Yeah, exactly. So,
they start talking about their house because it's almost ready, but not quite ready to move in. And Tori is mad that they're going to move in before it's finished because mm-hmm. It's going to ruin her children's childhood. Moving into a house that doesn't have baseboards. And I was like, you know, this is very shady towards Sheree.
Yeah.
It's not. I feel like she's attacking Sheree from afar.
I know. Poor Sheree in her chateau. That's just not nice. So because their rental lease is running out and apparently the landlord has someone already lined up. I mean, you would think they would just go month to month until their place would be done. I mean, I feel like a fairly standard thing is you are like a 1 year lease and then month to month. I don't know. But the point is this, they have to move into their new place. But Eugene says the upside is that their contractor, Neil, lives just down the street from their new home so that they can just go like knock on his door and pester him. And Toya's like, me, because you're not going to do it. I'm like, yeah, of course he's not going to do it because he's working at a hospital as a doctor funding this house.
To pay for your gigantic house, Toya, stop being
with
such
a two-story
brat,
closet.
Okay?
Yeah.
So Toya's just a brat to him, and now she's mad at him. So she's like, well, I'm taking the donuts because you can't have the sugar. It's like, okay, you've officially triggered me, and my entire childhood is back in my brain, and I'm cutting myself. Okay, thanks, Toya.
So now it's 9 p.m., and we're over at Jackie's office, and Simone comes in. She's like, Jackie!
So, you know, Simone and Jackie do what they normally do together. Drink a to-go beverage. That's what they love to do. A smoothie or a to-go beverage of some sort.
They love a big styrofoam cup.
I'm actually surprised they're not at the picnic table, because that's their favorite place to shoot. The picnic table outside the strip mall office.
Yeah. So, I know, well, it was too dark for that. There were probably some raccoons there. Like, probably, like, the Dr. Jackie and Dr. Simone of the Raccoon World were shooting their scene over there. Like, well, we can't use the bench because raccoon marriage medicine is happening right now, so we'll just have to shoot inside tonight.
Why is this nut smoothie green?
It's a garbage smoothie.
So Jackie, we find out, has another business. Her new yearly business, because Jackie has a different thing that's not necessarily business, but Jackie has like a theme that she's working on every year. And this year, it's a book called Queen V.
Yeah.
All about sex, because every woman wants to have a lot of, what does she say? Queen V is the book about all there is to know about sex.
It's the Bible.
And down there. It's the Bible.
For sex, intimacy, and down there health. Which, I mean, sounds really cool, but I have a hard time believing that she's the first one to come up with this concept. I'm pretty sure there are, like, books lining the shelves of Barnes & Nobles that all have the same idea. But you know what, Dr. Jackie, all the power to you, because you're my favorite.
I just take it as it's the first one that's like a Kama Sutra book. Kama Sutra? Am I saying that right? Kama Sutra?
Kama Sutra.
But
Kama
it
Sutra.
Has, like, lecturing tips, you know, like, now, enjoy sitting from the headboard on your husband's whatever, but don't do it without a handy wipe in the air because, you know, she's very, I don't know. I don't need down their health mixed with my sex. I need them separated, okay?
I think they kind of go hand in hand, unfortunately.
Well, they do, but you think about them with different minds.
You know what? I'm not even going to weigh in on that because this is lady stuff, and the ladies know what they need. And I, as a man, don't know, really. I don't even know what a vagina is. I think it looks like a stapler, right? Is that how it works?
Vaginas make this sound when they're mad in traffic.
Beep, beep. So either way, she's got this book. And so she's talking about how she's like, well, in the book I wrote, the only penis I've seen has been my husband's penis. And now I don't know if I can include that anymore after Peyton Sips. So I don't know. And then meanwhile, Simone just picks up a vibrator and starts doing a mic check into it. Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. 1, 2, 1, 2.
Yeah, she's got all these sex toys around her, which I just think is hilarious with Dr. Jackie.
Yeah, it is kind of funny.
It's just funny that that's her new thing. It's like last year it was counting calories, and this year it's like dildos. It's like it's quite a jump, you know?
Yeah. So then we go over to the South House, Simone's South House, where her Simone and the whole family are moving in, but they're walking into the house, And Simone is making Miles and Michael make the beds upstairs. It's kind of like watching Below Deck in a very stationary and non-glamorous way, also in a house. It basically was like in between Charters and everyone's cleaning up the yacht, except it's like a suburban house and there's teenagers doing the work.
Yeah, because now they're going to use this house for a Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
And which, Cecil's like, well, this is an opportunity for me to bring some money in. Like, which, you know, I want an Airbnb because I love the Airbnb shows that have come out as the new kind of HGTV shows.
This needs
where
to be
people
an instant
design
hotel.
Things for Airbnbs. I love those shows.
Could you imagine Simone and Cecil on Instant Hotel? I mean, it would just be amazing. Just amazing.
I did not feel like I had a good night's sleep, Cecil.
I feel like the homeowners have ignored our friendship in our girlhood.
The devil's in the details. That's what I always say. Fussy couple.
So not only is this an Airbnb scene, it's also a sex education scene.
Yeah, two for one, really. Because after everyone cleans up the house, and by the way, really mad I did not know about this Airbnb before we booked our Atlanta travel, because you know I totally would have stayed at just to say that we stayed at Simone and Cecil's South House. I totally would have said we should book that Airbnb.
Yeah, the best part was the box, like the Costco box of Trojan condoms next to the Costco-sized Juvederm or whatever was up there next to it.
Yeah. So anyway, so they the family sits down at the table, and Simone is like, all right, so I want to talk to you about sex ed. Are you guys familiar what sex is? And Michael's like, I'm 21.
Yeah, he's like, it's you're a little late, okay? Yeah. She's like, but I'm going to draw penises on a plate. So she draws these penises on two paper plates and then just starts putting nasty shit on it and going like, this is herpes. Yes. This is chlamydia. It's like sardines and mayonnaise.
This is a syphilitic ulcer. See this cottage cheese? If this is coming out of a girl's vagina, it is probably a yeast infection. You should stay away.
And they're all just like, Mom.
Yeah. So she gives up, you know, they talk about consent and all that stuff. It's actually a good talk.
It was really good. She's like, basically was like, no matter what, if a woman says no, if you do not get a yes, you stop. No matter what, you stop. Otherwise, you go to jail.
Yeah. And then they're like completely mortified by this whole conversation, and then she eats some of the yogurt and she's like, any questions
as I eat my visual demonstration of syphilis? Any questions?
So let's go over to Quad's house. She's talking to her lawyer. She's like, how you doing, Jeff? And he's like, oh, you know, busy suing people.
Yeah, she's standing at her kitchen island talking to Jeff the lawyer, and she has like a little cheese platter out and an unopened jar of peppered pickle or pickled peppers. And I was like, I'm very curious to see where this goes.
I know. How does this keep a relationship together? Can't wait to read this recipe.
It's in my book. Pickled peppers. You have to put them out in front of a cheese plate.
So Heavenly comes over, and Quad has to, you know, go down the stairs to get Heavenly, and Heavenly just comes in squealing, "Praise the Lord! Ah, it's me, Heavenly Girl!
Are you speaking to Daddy Lawyer? Hey, Daddy! Oh, praise the Lord, you got the cheese? Okay, all right. Hey, do you have any crackers? You have any crackers with the cheese?"
And Quad is like, "Oh, well, all I'm doing is getting a divorce, but in the meantime, her crackers are very important."
I'm trying to talk to Jeff. So she's all mad that she's interrupted, and Heavenly just keeps interrupting. She's like, I'm so sick of hearing about this divorce. I mean, I know that you're more stressed than me about it, but come on. How do you not know that I... She doesn't know that she can't give me cheese with no crackers. Her man left her because the cheese and crackers go together.
You know that Heavenly truly believes that too, by the way.
You gotta give your man cheese with a cracker. If you don't have cheese with a cracker, then he's just gonna leave. I mean, everyone knows that. Daddy always says, but that's why I always have a cracker ready for Daddy. Daddy, praise the Lord for crackers. What are crackers? What's the crackers? Ritz crackers? All of the crackers. Praise the Lord.
So those two just crack each other up, and Quad hangs up. She's like, Jeff, I have to hang up with you because you cost me money.
So then they sit down to start talking and everything, and immediately Heavenly just peppering her with questions, pickled peppering her with questions. Colbeck, she's like, who gets the alimony? You paying him? Who gets the dogs? You say you're splitting the house? Do you get both of your shoes, or he gets to keep some of your shoes? Tell me, what's going on?
Where I'm from, meddling is worse than stealing. And then they just start cracking up. So then we go over to Guys Night. Football,
yeah.
Bowling.
Okay, morally opposed to this. What is this ridiculous sport they're trying to make happen? This is the fetch of sports, okay? Football bowling. All right, football bowling is not a thing. And this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. Throwing a football at bowling pins? I'm sorry. It's annoying. Don't do it.
It's very like gay guys sitting around a table going, what would straight guys like to do next? Let's mix two straight guy things, you know?
Then they just come up with this. It's like, guys, this is a reach, okay?
Yeah, clearly it was like an idea that happened in someone's backyard, and then it's probably like fun. It's probably fun, but I don't think I would pay money to go throw a football at pins. I just don't like that. I would want to go bowling.
Did you notice that Cecil at least showed up with a new title? Cecil shows up to go football bowling, and it says, Cecil, Simone's husband / real estate agent. I was like, wow, you're moving up there in the whole Chiron world, Cecil.
Wow, that's amazing. Good for him. Good for him.
So the guys arrive, and they're all terrible, of course, yeah. As I think anyone would be.
Yeah, like no one could hit that. I mean, I think it's a sport that's not really meant for success anyway, but yeah, they are really terrible. Also, Daddy showed up and he was not wearing scrubs, so this is like pretty big. This is a few times this season he's not wearing scrubs.
I know, it makes me worry that he's cheating.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when a man starts working out suddenly and gets a sports car and you're like, oh my God, he's totally cheating on me. Daddy just puts on normal clothes.
Yeah. He puts on a belt. So, yeah, and by the way, and Buffy's husband was there, David, so he was there trying to yuck it up, although he clearly was like this. He was like, so cool. Yeah. Trying to fit in. Play it cool, David. Play it cool. I'm like,
yeah.
The handlebar mustache. That's really all I kept seeing.
And Cecil points out that he's a psychiatrist, so he talks like this at all times.
Yeah.
And he's like, Buffy and I feel terrible about what happened with Eugene. All right. I'm sorry, but we just have a very diverse group of friends. And then they start talking about their wives and Contessa and
Scott.
It's really hard being, yeah, Scott's, you know, it's really hard being a single man during the week.
Like, you are a doctor, hire a nanny. What happened to that lady, that crazy nanny that you guys had? Can't you get her back? What was her name?
Yeah. Oh.
Contessa's first season.
Wait, wasn't that her? She called her mother, but it wasn't her mother.
But by the end of the season, she stormed off.
Yes, they're not friends. They stopped talking.
They should bring her back.
I was sad. God, that feels like 10 years ago.
I know. So Scott starts saying, he's like, just like Contessa's just really, really goal-driven. And then Daddy's like, well, I guess all of our wives are goal-driven to some degree. I don't know why I wrote that down. It's just like Daddy making his you know, earnest observations about life. And then,
yeah, and then they get served their food. How are these all doctors? And the husbands of doctors. What the hell, you guys? I mean, this looks like my dreams. Granted, it looked delicious.
What
but
was it?
It's like when you go outside a hospital and there's like a bunch of nerves outside. Nurses like chain smoking and people are like, how could you do that? And they're like, it's the stress of dealing with you assholes. Because yeah. It was just all, it's like fried pizza, fried potatoes, wow. fried. And I just sat there.
Dreaming.
You know, waiting to call. Yes, drooling, basically.
Drooling and dreaming.
Waiting to call Uber, yeah.
So then, of course, Aiden starts talking about that he was really mad about Toya's birthday party because of the strippers and everything. And then Curtis, who has a whole mouthful of food, by the way, he eats like a Muppet, you know, where they, like, you know when Muppets eat and they basically, like, or like when Cookie Monster eats a cookie, you know, like, it's just like crumbs fall out because obviously they don't have, like, esophagi. They don't have like an actual digestive system, so they just like munch on food and it just all falls out. That was Curtis right now talking. He just, all his food was falling out of his mouth. And he was like, you know, we should be angry at Eugene because he knew what was happening. I'm like, you cheated on Jackie. That's it. You cheated.
Yeah, you're done. You're done with us forever, buddy.
You just sit down, eat your burger. You cheated. You cheated.
And
you cheated.
Eugene is always so shit-stirry like his wife. So he starts the shit-stirring, talking about the strippers. And he's like, yeah, well, I heard that Heavenly was picked up by one of the strippers and carried around.
No,
and
Scott said that. Scott said that.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was Eugene. Never mind.
Yeah. Well, either way, it doesn't matter because, yeah, so they're all talking about the strippers now. They can't believe it. And Daddy had no idea, by the way, that any of this really happened because, of course, Heavenly didn't tell him. He's like, oh, I didn't know about any of this. So, yeah, so Scott says the stripper picked up Heavenly. And Daddy's like, I'm not excited about some dude picking up my wife. But we'll have a fun time when we do something like that also. Basically saying, okay, well, now we get a free pass to go hang out with strippers. I'm like, no, you guys already do that. You don't get a free pass.
Yeah.
The women were the ones who got the free pass.
And then he says, and we can paint them, but we don't need brushes because we have hands. It's like, ooh, Daddy, creep.
Stop it,
he's
Daddy.
So creepy because he talks like, you know, he's always talking like that. So it's just 100 times creepier when it comes from him.
Yeah, I know.
Also, enjoy getting murdered by Heavenly. Have fun with that, big talker.
So then the next day, we now go over to Toya and Eugene moving out of one McMansion to another. And it basically means we got a lot of images of Toya going up and down the stairs. And my goodness, her booty is huge. I don't even know what's going on back there. But wow. Wow, Toya.
She's hilarious to me. She's up there. She's on the second story with dress zipper bag things, throwing them down to the first floor. And she's going, sorry, Chanel. Sorry, Dolce. Oh, come on, Toya. Sorry, Dress Bard. Sorry, BB.
I know. I think that they expected their apology when you first bought the clothes. So, so here's the thing. My blood was actually boiling because they were... Eugene was insisting that they move themselves, and like watching this was painful. It was painful. First of all, I thought Eugene was gonna have a heart attack. Second of all, they start at 7 a.m, and this is going on for hour after hour after hour. And Eugene has enlisted his friends. I'm like, you're over 30. Hire movers. Like this is, I'm sorry. Again, it's like you're a doctor. Hire movers. Okay, you're moving into a McMansion. You can afford movers. It'll be faster and easier. It took them like 6 or 7 hours, I think, to do all of this stuff that a group of movers could do in like 2 to 3 hours.
It took them 24 hours or something. And Toya,
oh, yeah, that's right. The first batch. Yeah.
She gives herself to move this huge house with two kids and a husband. She gives herself like 6 hours while the kids are at school or whatever.
Yeah. It was crazy.
And she just kept saying, like, she's just so mad that this isn't done. And she's getting annoyed with Eugene because he's like, oh, I move all the time. I've moved a million times, Toya. I know how to do this. And he starts packing one of those little dirt motorcycle bike things in the truck. And she's like, you can't pack it like that. It's gas. It's going to spill everywhere. Come on, Eugene.
It's just like, it's just one of those things, like, why is this the area that you guys are going to skimp on? I think that's what bothered me. Like, you are literally, it's not like, listen, not everyone can afford movers, so I would never say, I'd never act like this to someone who it would be a big expense. Like, if they were downsizing, they had to cut costs, etc. But you are literally moving into a house with like, two closets, and you are burdening your friends, and you're making us watch you like get sweaty and almost die, and like watching all this like unnecessary labor when you can hire people who just know how to do it quickly, just do that. I think I'm just more mad about the fact that he dragged in his friends, and then like Toya had to do all this work. Like, just get the movers.
Well, you agree with Toya at least, because Toya just sums it up like this: we sped buddy differently.
Well, I'm surprised that Toya was not able to she's Toya is able to get Eugene to fund a two-story closet, but can't get him to call the local movers. I don't understand. And I don't know why it's making me so mad. I think it's because I just was like, had like a base level of anger because I was talking about the Ed Sheeran situation with my car. So I think that like it's now like everything is triggering for me.
Ed Sheeran and moving.
things that go under my skin.
For you.
It is a Monday. Wow.
Wow. My brain is bleeding.
So then we go to Heavenly and Jackie, and they're going over to the dildo place.
Yeah.
Because Jackie is writing a chapter in her book, Queen V is the New V. And she has a chapter in her book about sex toys, but she doesn't use sex toys herself. So she needs to go do research.
Yeah. So also, by the way, not lending a lot of credibility to this book. But anyway.
And Heavenly is saying, oh, well, you know, I didn't tell Daddy about the strippers. Whatever. Why would I? And Jackie's like, oh, shit, this is going to get back to you. You're going to get in trouble.
Will. Yes, it will. So meanwhile, at Eugene's new house, I don't know. At first, I thought it was the same day. I just assumed, okay, they packed and then it's the next day. But then they packed and then it was like that evening. But no, it was, as you mentioned, it was like the whole next day. And there were still stuff had been taken out of the truck. But it sounded like Eugene had to go do a second batch of moving, which I was like, I cannot believe you have dragged this into a 2-day process. This is absurd. But so Toya shows up and she's mad that nothing in the house has been unpacked yet. It's just all still boxes and everything's jumbled around.
Yeah, but you know, Eugene did try to make it up with her with a sign on the lawn that says private residence in cursive.
As opposed to a public one. Like, oh, I thought this was the Econo Lodge.
Oh, I know. I thought, what? Does everyone have this sign on their lawn? I've never seen that. Private residence.
Private residence. Oh, good. I was so confused with that house. I was like, is this a restaurant? Oh, it's a private private residence. Never mind.
So, yeah, she's really mad, and she's being a brat. Meanwhile, he's working his butt off trying to get this all done, you know?
Yeah.
And she's like, but stuff hasn't been washed. Nothing's been done. I want my sons to remember what home is. How could my... This has got to traumatize my children. Yeah, moving into a fucking mansion with a pool. I'm really feeling for your children right now, Toya. I'm sure all of America is sobbing right now.
Yeah. Also, they've moved like 5 times in the past 3 years, so they're used to this stuff. And
yes.
Also... If you think this is going to be your forever home, you're sadly mistaken. Because, once again, let me reference the 5 moves that you guys have had for the past 3 years, it feels like.
Yeah, the editors did that for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, so everybody's going to be so traumatized. But the way you're having it, your sons are going to never know what moving is. You know, it's like they just show up, wow, I have a new house and everything's done.
Yeah, they have to know the pain of moving. So that way when they're older, they will be like, you know what? We're not going to be like Dad. We're breaking the chain. We're hiring movers.
Yeah. And then Eugene's like, it's called glass half full, Toya. Okay. I mean, come on. Look at all this. Look at this gorgeous mansion we're moving into. Look at all this patio furniture. I mean, you designed all of this yourself. And then we see the patio furniture she got, which is like this big, huge straw wicker, like daybed type thing. And she's like, I'm a designer.
Yeah.
Like, he knows how to win her over.
So what you're telling me is that you unpacked a half full glass and nothing else? Is that what
lazy.
You're saying?
You lazy, so lazy. Asshole. So the kids come home, and of course, they're not traumatized at all. They're fully clothed and jump into the pool immediately. They're like, yes! Yes! We're rich!
Pretty much. I mean, it was basically like the opening of DuckTales. You know, Scrooge McDuck just diving into all his money.
Yeah, so then we go to Heavenly and Jackie at the dildo shop.
Yeah.
And and they talk to Angela, and she's like, I'm so glad we're having this conversation. We need so much more education and stuff. And then they get to try out the sex toys. And Heavenly's just like rubbing them up on herself and stretching her ankle behind her head as far as she can. She's totally into it.
Yeah, I mean, because basically Angela is a sex toy therapist, which is like... could either mean that she helps you work with sex toys, or maybe she solves problems for sex toys, you know?
Yeah, it's like the cast of Toy Story, but they're all sex toys, and they've all got problems.
Sex
too,
Toy Story.
Know?
So then...
you try being a clitoral sucker that's put on somebody's nose.
Yeah.
Okay?
She puts a clitoral sucker on a nose, and she goes, well, the nose is like the clitoris of the face. I was like,
And is then, it clitoral or clitoral?
Again, I don't know, but don't take anything I say too literally. So, so Heavenly is like has. So then there's like this other thing that this vibrator thing that looks like it's used to maybe like buff a car, and you're supposed to just put it right up on your clitoris and like feel the vibrations. So of course Heavenly does that, and she goes, "Ooh, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll be taking one of these for Daddy."
Yeah, Heavenly like lists a bunch of things she wants. She's like, just put it on her bill. That'll be fine. I just love watching Heavenly with that clitoral sucker on her nose. She just sat there with her eyes closed going,
oh. It was like a very, very adorable recreation of Alien, like the first few scenes of Alien, you know, like instead of like a face sucker, it's just like a little clitoral sucker. It's like,
this is going to pop out of my belly, but I won't die. I'll just have an orgasm. Praise the Lord.
Don't tell Daddy.
Don't tell Daddy I went to another planet and a face hugger got onto my face and sucked my nose clitoris.
So Jackie has decided that it's time to bring this group of friends together with a trip. And Heavenly guesses Colorado for some reason. And
she's like, where'd that come from? She said it with such confidence. Oh, is it going to be Colorado? It's like, what?
She's like, no, Savannah. She's like, oh. So they're going to heal and decided that they're not going to fly there, or Jackie's decided that they're going to take a bus there so they have time to get really, really close. And Evanly's like, a bus? Do you have an exit strategy for the bus?
The door. So so we learned that that's basically going to be like the early season trip, although this is episode 5, so I mean, you know, these early season trips are starting to happen a little bit later. So we now go over to Contessa's house, and it's nighttime, and they're putting Scott and Contessa put the kids to sleep, and Contessa's saying how heart-wrenching it is to be away from the kids, and, you know, putting the kids to bed is the thing that she misses the most when she's away, yada, yada, yada. And then, like, Contessa and Scott retire to the balcony or the deck, and they start talking, and Scott once again starts talking about how he's been, like, annoyed by all this stuff. You know, having to take care of the kids. He's like, it's not like I signed up for this. I'm like, Scott, you just need to relax.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this. I feel like your spouse just being like, okay, I'm going to be gone 5 days a week is a lot. But I don't. And then she's saying, well, you never support me. And he's like, of course I do. And she's like, well, you know, I don't remember you ever supporting me. And she's like, well, I'm not abandoning my family. You know, I've been doing all this since they were born. And I don't remember you telling me you're overwhelmed and take a break, Contessa. And then we get a clip of him saying, go ahead, take time off work. You don't need to work full time. There's no reason you need to work all the time. And she didn't want to. So right. I don't know what I really feel about this. I do think that all children should have a turban because that was pretty amazing.
That was, you know, that was very amazing. You know, I think that like, I think she was basically saying, like, listen, I was always doing double duty, and, you know, you never were like, okay, like, go take a break. So then finally I did take one, and he did support her for that. But then I don't know. I still think Scott is being a little unreasonable because, again, they're doing well for each other. And, like, I don't understand why there was no talk about, like, adapting. Like, why not hire a nanny? I mean, truly just hire a nanny. Like, because you are fortunate to be in a position where I think they could do that.
Well, maybe, but then school's really expensive, and then paying for, you know, another apartment and paying for all that stuff.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, it just seems like, why was any of this not really considered? Or it didn't seem like it was considered. But ultimately, I thought where Scott had a really good point, though, was that, like, look, you quit. He's basically like, you know, you quit medicine because you were missing the kids growing up, and so you quit it, and I supported it, and then you came to be with the family, and then, like, you kind of just, like, jumped into a master's program and, like, left the kids again. So, like, what's really going on? I think he's probably thinking to himself, like, you're leaving home for, like, 2 years to do this master's program, and then you're going to come back, and are you really going to do this? Are you really going to go into public health? Are you going to be like, no, I want to be with the kids again? Like, what do you really want? And I thought that was a fair point.
I thought he was saying, is this, you know, the housewives thing where you come on a show and leave your husband? Like, what are you doing? Because he said, are you going for something I don't get? And he just needs to really hear, like, no, of course I love you, you know, blah, blah, blah. But she's like, you win. You get your way. I withdrew from school. I quit. Fine. You get your way. And he's like, geez. I didn't say quit. I'm just saying it's stressful. And she's like, oh, now you're happy. I can just go clean something.
Right. She should have probably, like, now that's the other thing. It's like, I thought that was, I don't like that she actually withdrew from school. I feel like you've already put in basically a year, see it all the way out. Like, that actually really bothered me that she did that. And then on top of that, I think that's actually something that she should have discussed with her husband. And instead, she was like, oh, fine, I withdrew, you win. So it's almost like a passive-aggressive quitting. And he was like, no, I'm not going to let you put that over my head. But at the same time, he did really bitch and moan a lot while she was just trying to do this program. So I don't know. They seem to be in a very unhealthy cycle at the moment, and they should go to therapy. Okay.
Okay. Well, I say working, you know, having to be alone and take care of the kids on either one of their parts is reason enough to complain. You should just be allowed to complain. Like, I don't know anybody raising children that doesn't have the right to complain. It's
no,
hard.
You have the right to
and
complain
works at the same time.
But if you support your wife and she's going to do a program, then and he's like, well, I didn't realize it was going to be so far away. Like, that's kind of like there's clearly a massive communication situation happening between the two of them. They are not on the same page on, like, intentions and things like that, and they need to get that fixed.
Yeah. So she's like, well, I didn't think that this degree would hurt our marriage, but, you know, you always get your way, and I would like to get my way sometimes. And he's just like, wow, okay, great. So that's a really fun ending to this episode.
I know, seriously. You guys, so this was a fun episode. Come see us in Atlanta this week. We're less than a week away. It's also going to be Atlanta Pride. So, you know, let's gay it up. And go to watchcrappins.com for tickets and for the amazing new merchandise. I can't wait to get myself some Shannon Boldore merch as well as the other stuff. And we'll be back tomorrow to discuss the season premiere, Below Deck. Can't wait. Can't wait.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Get ready for Brexit on the 31st of October. Brexit will bring changes that affect businesses in many ways, particularly if you buy from EU suppliers, sell to EU customers, provide services to EU clients, and receive customer data from other businesses in the EU. Businesses need to prepare. Find out how at gov.uk/Brexit. Get ready for Brexit on the 31st of October.
Technically Speaking is the new podcast from NatWest, exploring the fast-evolving world of tech with interviews from leading academic and business figures.
Private companies know more about us than our governments do, and you can decide whether that's a good thing or a bad thing.
We have to consider the impact of technology as it's developed today on society and various people in society.
Technically Speaking from NatWest. Available now from wherever you get your podcasts.